Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football.
Hello, good evening, welcome along Rush Nation, here to the 5 Yard Rush flagship show. I'm Dan, and I'm joined, as you can see, by Murph. How are you, Murph? Are you good?
Yeah, mate, good to have you back. I know you're on for the JJ
problems.
Show.
Yeah.
You had some technical problems, and then last week I know Tuesdays are bad, and where Drew can't do Mondays because he's in court Monday.
Yeah.
So
and well, on the right side of the bench, we hasten to add.
Yeah, exactly, on the right side of the bench. So, but it's great to have you back, and
it's good to be here.
Just you and me, mate. We'll
it is.
We'll chat.
And we're into May. And being into May means just one thing, I guess. That the draft is over and done with, and the summer's coming.
Yeah, and well, there's still a few little things from an NFL UK perspective and the schedule release is still to happen. That's going to definitely throw up some interest and some talking points. But obviously, for you and I, Peter King confirming today that the Buccaneers will be playing in Munich on the 13th. Yep. That wasn't news really to you and I because we did know it was leaked.
We followed up people in the industry, I think, with a link to the Bucs that we kind of got word of that. So, and we have hotels booked and flights booked, and
it has saved a pretty penny, which was very useful. So, but yeah, Peter King did confirm a couple of things today. So I just want to make sure I don't balls this up and I get this right. So
as well, wasn't it? In Mexico, their date was confirmed.
The Cardinals are playing Monday night, November 21st in Mexico. So Monday night football in Mexico. That's 1 week after the Buccaneers play in Munich. So that's week 11. So that means the Cardinals you can expect to buy week 12. Buccaneers you can expect to buy week 11. I doubt either of those teams are going to not take the bye then. We had this weird scenario last year, didn't we, with the Dolphins, where they didn't elect to take the bye.
They chose not to, yeah.
They chose not to. So that was...
They wanted to save it for near late in the season so they was fresh for their playoff run.
Which didn't happen.
Worked out, true.
That's arrogance for you. Evening, Jack. Evening, Harry. Some of the regulars in, which is great. And then also, we've got the news that the Green Bay Packers and New Orleans Saints and Jacksonville, these games are all going to be played between week 5 and week 8.
Yep.
Normally so pretty early back, on. Yeah. Very early. Well, yeah, that's about right, isn't it? Normally it's 6, 7. So week 5, week 8. So we know...
A week 5 is a week 6 bye. It's bearable, I suppose. It's going to be one of the first ones.
Hard. It is hard. It might not be week 5. It's going to be in that window, week 5 to week 8. So I've heard murmurs. It looks like the Saints are going to be week 5.
Yeah,
that seems to be the one. And I've heard it could be the Vikings, but I don't know. I'm less confident about that. I'm more confident on the fact it looks like it's going to be week 5 for the Saints. So I imagine the order is going to be the Saints. Then I would imagine from a logical perspective, it would probably be the Packers because it'd be in the same stadium. Mm-hmm. And then I think the Jags will be after that. And that will either be the same or the following week. I think they'll be back-to-back weekends.
I think we'll have two back-to-back and then a gap. So we have one and a gap and then two, or two and a gap and then one.
Something like that. I think it's how they're going
to
do it. So
I wouldn't be surprised to see one a gap and then two, just to shift the buyers along sort of 7 and 8 rather than 6, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And
we're going to find out, right?
Out on Wednesday. So Wednesday, this will be official.
Good morning, football, isn't it? NFL Networker.
Yeah, good morning, football. So you're talking midday to 3 p.m. So I think the announcement's being teased to somewhere between that last hour, 2 till 3. Yeah. That's our time. So we should know by 3 p.m. Who's playing what weeks and filling in those gaps. But we know a lot. Like, at the end of the day, this isn't going to come as... I think for those who are hoping that we get to know the opponents of the Saints, the Bucks, and all of these, I think that's the most exciting part.
Well, there's still 28 teams out there hoping that, or 28 teams of fans out there hoping that their team's going to get the nod. So
I know, and the Rams is the new one that's been thrown in there today. Yes. That they said they would not mind being the Packers opponent because they would rather take the chance of playing.
Neutralize the crowd straight out.
And you're not during that potential winter end of season battle.
Cold, yeah.
So, but hey, the Buccaneers like playing in Lambeau. So, I mean, it's not going to be us. So, we do all right up there. Don't worry about the cold, Rams. You'll be fine.
Could you imagine we had two? One here, over to Germany, and then a bye week. Thank you very much.
Oh, that'd be the dream.
That'd be expensive.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot. As a Buccaneers fan, that'd be rather expensive for us.
Especially as we've still got to get tickets for this game. But we'll talk about that another time. Anyway, thought we were talking about the draft, because it's been draft weekend.
I know, all that talk of cold winter games, and let's go back to Vegas and the draft. And I don't know about you, but was there a more perfect setting for an NFL draft than Las Vegas? I can't remember one.
I've got to be honest with you, I didn't love it.
Okay.
This is controversial. There were some things that really annoyed me about this draft. First of
all, the length of the walk from the green room.
Why is the green room on the other side of town?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if Mac Jones had done that walk last year with that power walk?
He'd have been out of breath and panting. Yeah.
Well, the soles of his shoes would have gone. It wouldn't have been any on there. Yeah. I just was like, how long is this walk? Oh, look. Oh, he's still walking. Oh, yeah. No, still walking. Yeah. Also, the thing with the hat. So he started off by putting the hat on the plinth, and then, you know, they take it off and then they wear it. And then they had a guy there who was standing there giving it to them.
Yeah.
What was all that about?
I don't know. He didn't mess up. Could you imagine? He's rummaging through the box trying to find one.
Here's the wrong one. That was weird.
The only thing I found really odd about it, because of where it was, the time difference, it was daylight, round one.
Right.
And that was really surreal.
That was really weird. Watching
a daylight draft, round one. And it was such a small thing, but yeah, it didn't quite sit right.
But also on day three, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would be, yeah.
So, no one's up for it. The atmosphere has just completely gone flat in day three. I was like, all right, okay, people really are sort of done with this draft thing now. Moving on to day three.
They're in Vegas. Also, there's 95,000 better things to do than day three of drafting when you're in Vegas.
True. But also, they teased the fact they were going to do these boats. That never happened.
Yep.
Right, so you had this lovely stretch of water. We thought we were going to get the boats, at least for, some of the guests, for whatever.
Yeah.
And there were some things that weren't Vegas's fault, that it was just, there seemed to be more people announcing picks this year than ever before.
Yeah, day three especially, it was rather wild.
Jeez. But even day two, round two, I think the commissioner only named one pick or two. Everyone had, most of them were ex-players, which was fine. It's always good to see an ex-player, but God, they dragged it on. Can we just
We'll get on to it in a minute, I'm sure, but while we're talking about other people mentioning picks, was there a better moment in the draft than the Make-A-Wish guy calling out Kayvon Thibodeaux for the Giants?
Oh, brilliant, by
the
way.
The whole 3 days, right?
Absolutely. By a country mile, that was my favourite moment.
That is what Make-A-Wish is there for and what it does, and you could tell exactly what that meant. And
that kid loved
Thibodeaux, to be fair to him, went with it as well.
And you know what? It's a hard thing, because obviously this kid has gone through, and there was another Make-A-Wish guy in round two, who was so pumped. He wasn't quite as pumped as the other guy, but he was so pumped. He announced the Patriots pick, and he had it's gone straight out of my head now.
The wide receiver?
No. He announced the wide receiver, but it was, I'm trying to think who he was.
Trayvon, whatever his name was.
Who he was there with. Anyway, it was brilliant, and he just loved it, because everyone was booing, and he's like, yeah, bring it on! Those were great. When you get those people... It was great. Thibodeaux was great. But there were some people that really, and we'll get into it, stole thunder of draft. But it's not your show, right? James Roudet did a great job as well, actually, with the Titans, because he was just a proper fan. He was just like, I'm here for a laugh. This is great. But he's quick. Have fun with it, but be quick and move on.
It was Chase Claypool coming out on day two, I think. The day after. The Packers, the Steelers have picked up a brand new wide receiver that's probably going to replace him and try to be
enthusiastic
about it.
That. I tell you what, there were some
cold things. They've got George Pickens the day before, and he's come out on stage to read the next guy, and he might not have a job in a couple of months.
You've stolen that, because that for me was that was cold. That was so cold. To watch Chase Claypool basically, career just basically be blown up, and he had to be the person to announce it, was quite, that has got to be one of the most savage things an NFL organization has ever done.
The only thing I think worse would have been if the Seahawks had wheeled Chris Carson out to pick Kenneth Walker. wheelchair him out of the pit.
Oh my word. Yeah, no, going out to Kenneth Walker. There was some savage things, but let's get into night one. So
yes,
night
one. We digress, yeah.
Well, no, let's do initial bit. So, you know, ICTR wasn't a huge fan, and it wasn't, I don't think it was Vegas's fault. The venue was weird, but whatever, we can. But I've seen better. Like, I thought Tennessee did a great job. I thought Cleveland last year was
great.
I think Cleveland was good. I just felt
it's
just
the shots, the drones and the aerial shots and things.
It looked
as a
wicked.
Big fan of Vegas. Yeah, yeah.
It looked wicked, but I don't feel like they had enough. There wasn't enough Vegas-y content. Like, I feel like you could have really hammed it up and really gone on there. But yeah, it was good. So round one.
Yep.
First five picks, all defensive picks. How shocked were you that all five picks were defensive?
A little. I had one of the offensive tackles coming out in the top five somewhere. Whether it been Neil or Icky, I don't know. I mean, when was the last time two corners were picked top five in an NFL draft? It just seemed
crazy. Sure it's ever happened.
No, yeah, I don't know if it has.
I'm not sure it's ever happened. I mean, I remember when people were shocked that Denzel Ward went fourth overall as a corner. I can't. Yeah. And I know that last year, in fact, it's never happened because there's only been about six players in the last 20, 30 years that have been drafted at corner and that high. Because I know that Jeff Okuda went four last, was it last year or the year before? To the Lions.
Yeah,
he was high up the board. Or was he three? He was three because Andrew Thomas was four. Yeah, you're right, the 2020 draft.
Yeah.
Jeff Okuda went three. I think three is the highest a corner's ever gone. So three and four, I don't think that's ever happened before. Yeah, I was a little surprised to see Stingley go that high. I didn't think Stingley would. I wasn't shocked on Sauce Gardner Johnson there. And I'm with you. I thought that the tackle that went to the Panthers would have gone in the top five. But then I understand why that didn't happen because the Giants had the choice of the two tackles. I think they probably had them rated fairly equally on their board.
They went Thibodeau first.
Correct. They went Thibodeau.
And I think they probably had Crosswind there and all. They'd probably been happy with one of the three. And then when they realized that all three were on the board, they were settled.
They knew that we were going to get at worst Evan Neal. And I think Evan Neal was talked about as number one pick in this draft. I don't think the Giants, you could sit there. You got two blue chip players in this draft. I mean, to get Thibodeau, who is one of my favorite characters. And you know, the one thing about the Giants organization is they've not drafted many great character guys in recent years. You know, you've had what happened with Baker, the corner, and his contract got ripped up. Thomas, nice kid, but he's not that sort of real locker room leader kind of guy that you kind of need at tackle. You know, Tony, they want to trade because he's a handful. You know, their first round picks are not these sort of big character guys who are leaders. And I think Thibodeau is the perfect person for that organization because I think he'll just grab people and just go, we've got to sort this out. He reminds me so much of JPP. Reminds me so much. Personality, the serious when it gets to work, but is a really good communicator.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, if he performs at the level that JPP did for that organization, then they got a heck of a player. And I think they've done a really good job. I don't think anyone was... I mean, Trayvon Walker was kind of the one of the Jags. I've got to say, I wouldn't have done it. I would have taken Hutchinson. Hutchinson was the safest pick.
I'd mocked Hutchinson coming out first, but...
Yeah. Well, I did up until the day before, and then all the talk and everything, and it started to come out Walker was going to be the pick. So, not an issue with it. I think Walker's a good player, but I think if you're the Jaguars... Don't take risks. Just take the players that you know are going to do a job. And Hutchinson would have done that. I don't think Walker's a big risk, but I think Hutchinson, for me, is the guy I would have.
I now really like Hutchinson standing from Michigan into Detroit.
Oh, he loves it. But he loved perfect, it, like, didn't he? That's absolutely.
Fan favorite right there.
Yeah, and the way that he talks, and again, the way he talks and communicates, he came out really well for me. A lot of time for the way that he conducted himself in this process and at the end of it. So
following those top guys, the first one that really should, because, okay, Stingley and Gardner went, and you're like, oh, okay. But there was an argument why they should be there, right? The first real pick that made me go, oh, that's a surprise, was the Falcons at 8. Taking Drake London. Now, I don't think it's a surprise that they had a wide receiver need, and I don't think it's a surprise that they got one. I was just surprised at 8 that they didn't try and fill another area first with the depth of wide receiver in the class, if that makes sense.
It's a really interesting point, because I did get shocked. I didn't think they would do it. I thought, my initial thought was they would take Kyle Hamilton. That was the player that I thought that they would take.
I didn't even mind them picking Johnson potentially. Obviously, he fell quite a way through the draft, and we'll get onto that. But as another edge rusher, there's a huge need they've got.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think the board probably doesn't break for them the way they would have liked. Maybe they didn't like Cross. I felt they could have done with offensive line. Obviously, there were some people here that would have expected them to go QB. I'm not shocked by that. No. You know, I think there's a few players. Jordan Davis was a player they could have taken. But listen, I think they've seen something in Drake London. Yep. And
he's a slow Mike Evans.
And they clearly have what they want to do here is they want to get guys who are going to go up and get the ball. So you got Kyle Pitts, now you've got
they've got a lot of height everywhere. Yeah. AJ, Alden Tate even.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have guys now that, you know, are timid. They can go and get balls. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point. For me, I would say this is a huge, nod to the coach to say, Arthur Smith, you're okay for a while. Because I don't think Arthur Smith is taking Drake London here unless he knows he's got a couple of years.
I just think the Falcons out in London won't win them any more games than they would without him. I think there was a player there they could have had that would have had a bigger influence on their games throughout the year than Drake London will have.
But I don't think they realise they're not going to win that many games this year.
Yep.
Their quarterback, so that their quarterback battle is Marcus Mariota or third round draft choice in Desmond Ridder, and we'll get to Desmond Ridder.
Yep.
We're not talking about the strongest quarterback room in the world here.
The other way I thought about it is, obviously they picked Ridder, but watching day one, I actually thought, we've seen so many QBs come in drafted early. We've seen Fields, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, and not have the team around them to help them. Yeah. They've struggled year one. So maybe the Falcons have gone, okay, let's stack the skill positions so that when we get a QB next year, everyone knows what they're doing, where they're going, what the plan is, and the QB's actually got the support he needs to thrive in year one rather than get by in year one.
And I think that's part of it. And I think the part of it is I think the bottom line, when we do the dissection of this class, the one thing we've got to realize is from a first round talent grade, there was probably only 20, 25 players tops.
Yep.
Now, there has to be 32 players that go in the first round.
Yep.
But I do not think there were that, from an NFL talent evaluation perspective, I do not feel that there were enough people that valued more than maybe 20 of these players as genuine quality, going to have a 10-year career in this league, going to add something day one and be a star. And I think that's when you look at it and you look at the players who have gone first in those first 7 picks, it's like, we can go and get Drake London, who we probably think is the best player in this draft from what's left. And he probably was top of their board. And if he's top of their board, you think, well, you've got to select him. Whereas everyone else is kind of like, I mean, Charles Cross, third best tackle. Everyone you're selecting at that stage is third or fourth best. You know, the corners have gone. I reckon they probably would say Kyle Hamilton was probably the only player in his position that was top of the board, that was still on the board.
Yep.
And I think they've just gone, let's just go and pick our best, the best player on the board for us.
Yeah.
And they must have loved the kid, and I'm not surprised. I think he's a talented individual, but I think he's a really, really nice guy. And I think that will work really well for them it was definitely interesting. I agree with you. I wouldn't expect it, but I also think with what was going on in this draft and how few difference makers there are in this draft, I'm probably, when you think about it in the cold light day, it's probably not the worst thing that they'll do.
Fair. Well, we're going to have the Seahawks taking an offensive lineman after Russ has gone, been mauled over so many times. It seems really ironic that they finally get rid of him and then they decide to take a first round pick on an offensive lineman. You must just sit there and shake your head if you're Russell Wilson at that stage. But and then we had a run on receivers, didn't we? It was a few teams started to trade up to pick up these receivers.
Well, so Garrett Wilson at 10 to the Jets. Jets were there at 10. They, you know, we were pretty confident they were going to take a receiver. Yep. Thought Drake London. Drake London goes fine. They take the best receiver on the board. Garrett Wilson. Don't think anyone shot there. Then the Saints move up. Now, the Saints, to acquire this pick, have traded a lot.
Yep.
So they've ended up trading about 6 picks to draft Chris Olave. And I got to be honest with you, I hate it. I don't like this pick for them. I'm being completely neutral here, by the way. I really don't like this pick. I think Chris Olave is a great player. Mm-hmm. You won't hear me say that he's a poor player, he's a poor choice. But you're talking about a team who are in quarterback transition with a brand new head coach. You've got Michael Thomas already. Yes, you need a wide receiver. You need a dynamic wide receiver. But you haven't got... There's not enough there for me on that side of the ball to warrant spending what they have spent to get him.
Yeah.
Like they've spent...
They're thin all across the skill positions.
Yeah, multiple second round picks, multiple third round picks, the fourth round pick for Chris Olave. He's just... And then selecting him at 12 or 11. Like, for me, I just think... For what you've paid to get him, he better be a multiple-year All-Pro. Because if he's not, that's not going to work out. And I'm not sure he was the receiver I would have taken for them. I think Jameson Williams would have been a better bet. But there's some part of me that thinks, do you know what? You should have just waited. You had the capital with the picks. Mm-hmm. With 2 first-round picks, even if you didn't go wide receiver first round, or even you did, you still would have got a good one in your original spot. And you get Penning, which I get Penning is a good player, like tackle, fine. I just didn't love the pick. I just think for them, if I look at those top 5 wide receivers, top 6 wide receivers, he's the one now I'd put a question mark across. It's not his fault. I just think that situation, what they've paid to do it, all those players they've sacrificed to get him, just not so sure that was the best use of resources to make that work. And then Jameson Williams goes and the Lions trade up 20 picks and you think, wow, Malik Willis is coming off the board here. We're going to have a quarterback battle. That's what I thought. I thought it's got to be Malik Willis. And then no, they go and get Jameson Williams. By the way, how annoyed was Jameson Williams?
He didn't look too pleased with it, did he?
I respect him for it a lot.
From an NFL point of view and from a fantasy point of view, I really liked him falling there. Maybe he didn't like him falling there, but I love that landing spot for him.
Absolutely. Because you know that Goff's not going to be the QB probably next year.
Nope. I'm not big on Amon, right? Okay, we brought in DJ Shark. DJ Shark and Jameson Williams potentially could be a huge one too in there.
That's now a taste of
if they can keep him healthy.
Last year, that wide receiver room went from Gold. Was it Golden? No, it wasn't even Golden Tate. Who was it last year?
Golden Tate wasn't there last year, was he?
No. Who was...
I don't know, but they played Quintus Cephas some games, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, Quintus Cephas. I'm trying to think who was the... Oh, it was... he played in Vegas the year before. Not Zay Jones.
Right, Zay Jones was in Vegas.
Anyway. Can't remember. Anyway, but they basically had a talent poor wide receiver room, and now you've got DJ Chark, Jameson Williams, and Josh Reynolds. I mean, that's not a bad wide receiver room. And you still got TJ Hockenson. You still got Swift.
Yep.
That's a pretty decent that's not a bad offense at all. I think
Goff, but there's worse QBs than Goff out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's bang average, but yeah, I'm with you. I quite liked it for fantasy. The Eagles traded up and took Jordan Davis to get ahead of the Ravens. That was a good move. The Ravens ended up getting Carl Hamilton, which I love that pick.
Yep.
Kenyon Green went to the Texans, strengthened the interior line, which is good. Harry Sicklefe Raymond, that he was on that team, but that's not the player I was thinking of. He came from, I'm not going to look it up, but he came from the Raiders the year before. Jahar Dotson went to Washington. I feel like Washington kind of lost themselves with this draft. Like, I'm looking at who was on. Like, for me, I don't understand how Jahar Dotson went above Treylon Burks. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah.
So, and so now we have to get to Treylon Burks. So, Treylon Burks. So, the Tennessee Titans ship off A.J. Brown.
And draft A.J. Brown.
Yeah, basically draft the player who was comp to A.J. Brown. First of all, A.J. Brown goes to the Eagles. He gets traded and gets $100 million contract, $57 million guaranteed. Congratulations to him. I'm amazed that that was done literally. Obviously, all the paperwork, everything would have been done in advance. You don't just agree that deal after you've traded for him during the NFL draft. So why did that pick get traded during the NFL draft? Why didn't that get done in the afternoon? That's the part. I mean, like, the television show that was put together was amazing, but I can't help but feel that that one was known about.
Maybe it's to stop the other teams knowing that that's happening, they're coming for whoever.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Especially where Burks is such a comp to A.J. Brown. You know, the Commanders might go in a different way or say they're known, so I don't mind them keeping that to themselves.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good point. So, trade on Burks goes.
Yeah.
What do you think of that situation? And then what do you think of A.J. Brown going as well?
I think the Eagles have benefited greatly there. I don't like it from a fantasy point of view. A.J. Brown being on the Eagles, especially if where I have him ranked as a wide receiver, I think he's going to take a small hit when I sit down and factor all these in. I haven't done it over the weekend, but I'm pretty sure he will. I don't know. You've kind of just traded, as we said, A.J. Brown that you know what he gives you, and got A.J. Brown that's yet to be proven.
But he does come a hell of a lot cheaper.
Cost. And that is the problem when you start paying running backs in the NFL.
Yeah. And that, you know, you've picked Derrick Henry. You've basically traded A.J. Brown for a younger, unproven
version of A.J. Brown. If Treylon Burks turns out to be what he could be, and they can get Robert Woods fit and healthy with Derrick Henry, that's not a bad offensive lineup they've got there.
No.
Especially in the division they're in. I'm okay with that. But you're working out on Burks being who you hope he is when you already had who he is.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange one. And for the Eagles, obviously, they've been in the market for a wide receiver. They apparently had agreed a trade for Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
Prior to getting injured. Suspended.
Suspended, yeah.
So he goes. And then another wide receiver goes. And Marquise Hollywood Brown gets traded to the Cardinals. And
he was already at an Arizona Cardinals draft party. You talk about them already knowing they're going to happen. He was backstage of an Arizona Cardinals draft party.
Surprise! I mean, love it. For me, I think the Ravens have done a phenomenal job to get another first round. To get a first round pick back from Marquise Hollywood Brown was not really lit the league up. Like, he's been fine. Yeah. I mean, Lamar Jackson was not happy.
Nope. I don't blame him, to be fair.
No.
I think it's left the Ravens a little short in that department, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a little bit, but I don't think it's... But I like the pick, Tyler Linderbaum. I think that was tailor-made for them. As a player, I've mocked there for a long time, so that kind of made a lot of sense for me. Last thing about round one was obviously only one quarterback went off the board. It was Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
I'm a little shocked, but at the same token, not entirely surprised. But at the same point, that's an interesting QB battle now between Pickett.
Take your pick, Trubisky. Avery,
I would start Trubisky day one.
Yeah.
I would start Trubisky day one. But I do think that if you're Mitchell Trubisky, I mean, you look at how much money he's been paid.
8 weeks into that year, yeah.
I mean, Trubisky's not been paid a lot of money. They can discard him.
Yeah,
he's on $7-8 million a year. Like he's not on big quarterback money. Like you can get rid of him. Like he's, there's nobody's business. So
yeah,
he will get a chance to earn that job. But I again, I'm not sure if I would be shocked if Kenny Pickett wins this job. They seem delighted to get him.
I think a lot of it will depend on how competitive they are in the division. Tough division, Bengals and the Ravens and that in there. So
even the Browns.
If they fall away and aren't competitive, I can see them making the change to Pickett and settling him in, ready for a run next year.
I completely agree. The rest of round one was a bit meh. You know, they're just against the players who...
The Jets coming up for Johnson was a big thing for me.
Oh, 26. Yeah, I mean, huge. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he gets down to 26.
Apparently, they phoned every pick from 15 down every single time to try and get back in all the time Johnson was on the board and couldn't make any deals happen. And finally managed to get it with the Titans at 26, I think it was.
Well, that's weird because a few teams traded up to get their guys. So
yeah,
the Bills traded up and obviously the Ravens traded there. So, you know, they get in at 26. The Chiefs traded up because the Chiefs traded up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had a few teams trade up there. So
the package that we gave obviously weren't enough for where they were.
Yeah. So
they
kept going. But it worked for them, so they must have been delighted to get it. And then the last one was obviously New England moving down and then getting Cole Strange from Chattanooga, which...
He wears 69. How many Strange 69 shirts do you reckon they're going to sell in New England?
Oh, so many. My favourite part of this was the fact that on a live stream was a very drunk Sean McVay and a very drunk...
Yes, I've seen it. Who'd been watching tape of him for their third round pick to see how he'd settle in.
So annoyed. That was so good.
I just want to point out as well. Yeah. So the Bills taking Keaty Lamb. Have you seen the video? They released a bit of video from one, his interview, and two, his phone call.
No, I haven't seen it.
Model professional. He turned up for his interview. At the end of it, he said, "Would you guys like to see my notes?" And they went, "You what?" And he pulled out a notebook, Florida Gators notebook. And they went, "What's in it?" He said, "Every play, every receiver, what their things are, what games I've done, what positional things I've done, where I can learn, where I can improve." And this book was full of notes on what he'd studied and learned, but also ways he could self-improve. And he took it all with him to his interviews. And on the phone call to the Bills, he said, "That's fantastic. They'll fly there tomorrow." He said, "Can you do me a favor and put a playbook on the plane for me to read on the way?" Like, if that isn't a professional that says, "I want to learn."
Yeah.
That you talk about, we said before, there's a lot of characters in this draft, I feel. There was very few questionable characters, but that at that level is going above and beyond what you need to do. And this is exactly what he's done, and fair play to him. It probably earned him a late first as opposed to an early or mid-second.
I always thought he'd get in the first round. I thought he was a good player. I didn't want him at the Bucks. I didn't feel he was the style of corner that would work in a Todd Bowles defense. And there wasn't a slight on him. He always comes across as a good. I didn't know any of that stuff. It's great to hear. I was never too happy when I was seeing him being mocked to the Bucks. I was like, I don't think he fits that Todd Bowles scheme as well as other corners that you can get in this draft. And I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad with who we got, to be honest. And Logan Hall, I think he's a much better fit. Round two. So no QBs going round two.
Nope.
And this is where everyone panics. Everyone's gone, what is going on with these quarterbacks? I mean, just on that, it's one of these that in hindsight, this is so abundantly obvious. I cannot believe I did not see this beforehand. It's obvious that these teams did not value these quarterbacks because Marcus Mariota is the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's not played in 3 years.
Yep.
Mitchell Trubisky gets a starting job. He's not played in over a year.
Drew Locke and Geno Smith are fighting for a starting job.
Yeah. Like, we should have known this. We mocked these QBs thinking, oh, well, they've got to be better than Drew Locke and they've got to be better than Mitchell Trubisky. People forget Mitchell Trubisky was the number two overall pick.
Yep.
Like, I know people don't like him, but...
Nick Foles is still a free agent.
Well, yeah, he's just got released, isn't he? And Baker Mayfield is still out there.
And Jimmy G's available.
Jimmy G's available.
And all of them would go before these guys got drafted if it wasn't for cost. Factor that in.
100%. You know, and you hear these GMs and they were saying, like, Jason Light said, "I've got Kyle Trask. Why would I draft a QB?" Yep. And you think, well, Kyle Trask was the 64th QB off, well, 64th player off the board last year. And he's what, QB six?
Yeah.
QB six off the board last year? And he was viewed above all of these QBs this year.
But you mentioned Mariota, and just out of question, put Mariota in this draft, he goes first round.
All day. Yeah, all day. Yeah. I think any of the starting QBs in the NFL, Sam Darnold,
yep.
Davis Mills. Davis Mills is a first round pick. He's the first QB off the board in this draft all day long. And I think that was the part. It's like we were shocked. And then actually we were like, because this isn't fantasy football.
Yeah.
In fantasy football, we would draft these players because, like, well, they're better than nothing. These teams have gone, well, no, because we'll find players who are better than these guys.
Yeah.
It's a damning indictment to how bad, I would say how bad, that how un-NFL ready these QBs were evaluated.
Yeah. And then, across the board as well. It's not like one's missed it or whatever. This is a league-wide.
We'll get to Ridder in a minute, but you know, Packers trade up, they get Watson. What are your thoughts on Christian Watson to the Packers?
I think at that stage, the Packers have missed the top five or six they needed and didn't want to miss anybody else at that stage. Not a big Christian Watson fan. I can still see the Packers now coming in for
Debo.
No, I can't see him doing a big one. Someone like Jarvis Landry, free agent. I can see him going to get someone like Jarvis Landry just to put that experience OBJ's in that
still
room.
Out there.
Yeah, but he's going to be injured till November, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could bring them both in.
Yeah,
right.
They might
Landry and OBJ,
that.
Put them back together again.
Yeah.
They know what they're going to get with the two of them.
I love that.
I still think they need to add an experience. I mean, they got Randall, Cobb, and the like there, but they need to add some kind of leader in that wide receiver room because at the minute they haven't got it. And Watson, he'll do a job in spells, but you're not going to be able to rely on him all game, every game. To what
the thing is, I really like him in the sense of he will catch everything. Yep. He will catch everything, but he's not going to replace Devontae Adams. He's not that style.
Very few can. Yeah,
100%. But he's not that high volume guy. Like, mm-hmm. he's not the guy who's going to get you. You're not going to target him 155 times a season. Like, if you are, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And I feel like you needed to get someone who I think would have been a better volume guy. And I look at the run that was at the at the end of the round. I feel there was better value there. Pickens.
Yep.
Sorry, excuse me. Alec Pierce, Sky Moore.
Yep.
They were players who I felt all of them in their own way would have been better fits for the Green Bay Packers.
Sky Moore's got a lot of hype since the draft, I think, because of landing spot with the Chiefs. And fair so, he's a reasonable receiver. The one for me that's flying on the radar on that is Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce
to the Colts with Pittman could work out an absolute treat. I think he was an underrated player coming out of college because of where he was anyway at Cincinnati. I actually really like Alec Pierce, and when he landed there, I liked him. And a few rookie drafts we've got going off at the minute, he's still an early third round pick. So I'll take that because I think he becomes wide receiver two on that roster almost straight away.
Yeah. I don't know where you're getting him in the third round. I've seen him go in the few I've done, have been second round, mid second. And I think you should be happy to punch any second round pick on him. I think you should be pretty happy with. I think he's someone that I agree with you. I think he can be fantasy relevant very early. He's going to have very little competition for targets. It's him or Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell can't stay fit. So you got Matt Ryan throwing him the football. I think it's a good fit.
He's got a better line than he had at the Falcons, Matt Ryan. So there's hope.
Exactly that. So he's going to have time to throw. He doesn't need.
And they've got a better running game than the Falcons had. So that should buy him a bit more time as well.
Yeah. And I think Sky Moore to the Chiefs, I think, is a great fit. I think it works. I agree with you that if you're looking at it from a linear perspective of year one redraft, right? So from a year one redraft perspective, give me Alec Pierce over Sky Moore. Yeah. No qualms or debates. Yeah. But there's so much uncertainty in that room at the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. You've got a bunch of guys. Mecole Hardman's not really done it. Juju Smith-Schuster's on the decline. Yeah. Sky Moore could win the lottery there. Like, he's in a situation where if his talent wins out, he will be... Travis Kelce goes in a year, probably, maybe two. He could go to the moon. He really could. And I think, if you ask me right now, he's the guy I would want in a... I don't want to go too much into Dynasty, but he's the guy I would want in Dynasty, because the moon is much higher. The ceiling is so much higher for Sky Moore in that situation. But I agree with you, from a redraft perspective, give me Alec Pierce, because I think Alec Pierce is going to have a very solid rookie season.
Me too.
Sky Moore could literally fall anywhere on the map in his season. So
the thing I don't get about Moore, I studied a bit of video on players. I had him more as a slot receiver than an outside guy. And I know he can do the outside role to an extent, but I had him more comfortable in the slot. And knowing the Chiefs have Juju there, I couldn't quite work out how that's going to play out.
Well, I think the thing with college tape, right, and I learned this lesson the hard way, and I learned it with Justin Herbert, right? What you see players do on their college tape is not the limitation of what they can do. And Justin Herbert was one, because he looks pretty bang average in that Oregon offense. And then actually, you realize that actually that's the way that he was coached at Oregon. He was told you do a 3-step drop or a 4-step drop. Mm-hmm. So his mechanics look weird because he's not doing the standard 5 or 7 foot drop. You know, he's literally on a short, quick throw. So it looks weird, because he's doing what no other QB is being asked to do. And then you question his mobility. Well, why is he releasing so quickly? And you don't realize it's all coaching. And then it was only through the combine process. I was like, oh, well, this kid's got wheels. He can move. He was just being asked to do a very specific job.
Yeah.
I think Sky Moore is very similar. I do think he will operate better out of the slot, but I also think he can do a bit of everything. Okay.
He's got wheels.
I think his best role would be that sort of intermediate role. That's similar to that Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Godwin role. Yeah. I think if you can get him in that middle part of the field and line him against the off-ball linebacker, and he can beat him for pace, I think you could see a lot of production in that sort of role. That's where I
drought and things like that.
Yeah, that's the sort of things I would expect to see him. And obviously, Travis Kelce does a lot of that work. So when Travis Kelce's going to come across, he's going to take men with him. They're going to guard him. There's going to be a huge open space that Sky Moore can really exploit. And I think if you can get that working in a tandem, that could work really nicely for the Chiefs. So that's something I would expect. Saw some running backs come off the board.
We did. Jets traded up. Surprise you?
Yes, that did shock me a lot. They move ahead of the Texans to do it, because I think the Texans were going to do it.
Yeah,
I think it does shock me a lot, given the fact that you do have Michael Carter there, you do have other running backs on that roster.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, don't get me wrong, I understand it. I think Breece Hall is as good a running back we have seen come out in the last half a dozen years. Like, I have high expectation for him. I do think this is really troubling for Michael Carter owners. I think in redraft he's undraftable. He's a handcuff at best now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really exciting. If you're a Jets fan, I think he can really help move the ball, and I think he's going to help them a long, long way. And now you've got the weapons and you've got everything there. It's an interesting one, because now it is all on Zach Wilson. If Zach Wilson now has 2 years, his clock starts now. Yeah. With this draft, he has 2 years to get them within touching distance of the playoffs, or he's done.
Yeah.
So it's
I think they'll compete for this year. I think they'll be on the fringe of a wild card.
I don't think this year. I think the Patriots are too far ahead. I think Miami have improved. I still think they're the fourth best team in that division. Okay. But I like what they've done. They've built a lot of talent. They've got to bed in. I think you've got to give, especially when you rebuild an offensive and defensive line, you've got to write a year off.
Yeah.
We saw it with the Chiefs last year. They bed in an entire offensive line. You saw the struggles at the start of the season. Then they started to put it together. And then when it really counted, it fell apart.
Okay.
And that's what's going to happen. You're going to have these inconsistencies on both lines. Wilson's going to have bad games this year, because that offensive line isn't going to quite merge. But it will get better. It'll be better. Yeah. They just need to move up this year. They can get 7 wins. I think they'll probably be quite happy with that.
Fine. Just to round off round 2, we've already mentioned the number of different people coming in to announce picks. We had poor Andrew Bruff and his pick to the Vikings. And I can't remember who it was now. But we had a 20-minute live story.
It was Ed Marinara.
It was coach, yeah. He loved his time in the limelight, didn't he?
Jesus. Like, I'm not being funny. Like, people like that is why stun guns were invented. Next year at the NFL draft, if you have someone thinking they're just better than everything else, just go out there, give them a stun gun. It was the
fact I actually didn't mind it. Like, even before he came on and told him to read the card, and he still carried on. Like,
he still carried on. Happened. I was like, dude, just get off the stage. Just get out.
But we're now talking about Andrew Bruce's draft pick. We wouldn't have been doing that otherwise. So I don't think Andrew Bruce will care.
I don't know. Mate, if that was me, if I was Andrew Bruce, I'd just go find him and just be like, yeah, cheers, that. I think it's disrespectful. It's not about you. It's about players being drafted. Yeah, and I just think, do you know what? Listen, you're a 70-year-old man. No one cares. Listen, you got one job. Read the card. You can't read the card. Find someone who can read the card. Read the card. Yep. Move on. Kenneth Walker obviously went to the Seahawks because Pete Carroll can't help himself. Someone needs to take away, you know, like when you get too old and they take away your driver's license.
Yeah,
Pete Carroll should have his draft card revoked. He shouldn't be allowed to go to the NFL draft.
I was also saying, as well, it's great because Walker can catch the ball, and I think the Seahawks are 30 for 32 yesterday on passes to running backs.
Yeah, it just great.
Doesn't matter if you can catch it or not; he ain't going to be throwing it. So
exactly that. And Drew Lock, you know, I'm not being funny. Like, Drew Lock's not gonna target him all that much of it. So obviously, Rashard Penny arrowed down. Chris Carson, RIP. He's pretty much done. And then James Cook, he went to Buffalo. That's a great pick. I think that will definitely work out well for them. Round 3, lots of trench players went early, which is kind of what you would expect. Desmond Ridder goes off the board. He is the QB2 in this draft, which I always felt he was anyway. I actually believed he's the QB1, but I thought he'd go QB2. But I didn't expect to come off the board at 74. He couldn't have asked for a better landing spot. I mean, my word, this kid has really landed in the... I mean, he's in the quarterback battle with Marcus Mariota. Like, he's not played
even Stevens from day one.
Oh, listen, I think he's ahead.
Okay.
I think he's ahead. He's just come off an unbeaten regular season and he's taken Cincinnati to the final four of the college playoffs.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. It's rigged. The whole system is rigged for Georgia and Alabama and Florida and Notre Dame.
They were the first non-Power 5 school, weren't they, to make the college playoffs?
Yeah, exactly that. Like, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder starts day one. If he does not start day one, something has gone wrong. Like, he starts day one. I give me the prop bet, whatever. I'll find it. There's no doubt in my mind he starts day one because I can't see a world in which Marcus Mariota... He's going to start. And like, he's playing for the, don't forget, he's playing for the coach who benched him for Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. This is a guy, okay, he liked him enough to think, well, he knows my system. But they got a perfect backup.
Yep.
Hey, look, you've been my backup QB for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Come do it
again. You know what we're doing. Come in and tell the other guy what to do.
No one else is going to pay you. Yeah. I'm going to give you $6 or $7 million a year to come in and coach a guy.
And tell our young guy what to do,
I think it's going to happen. Maybe you might see Mariota the first couple of games, but listen, if you are, you're Atlanta, you're not winning the division. You're not winning the division, so why would you not play Ridder?
Yeah.
You've got nothing to lose.
Especially after getting him Drake London as well.
Exactly that. I played Desmond Ridder all day long.
Agree.
N'Kobe Dean, he slid all the way to 83. I think he was like 17th on the big board.
Was he? I had him in my mock going to Eagles at 15. So, yeah, somewhere about that. He ended up at the Eagles, bizarrely.
Yes, he got the right team. That's the point.
65 picks later.
Well, he apparently needs pec surgery. So, and he refused to have it for whatever reason. So, he will be having that. And that's why he slid so far. But,
yeah.
I mean, unbelievable still, player.
If he gets fit and healthy, he can come to
exactly
back,
that. Yeah. I mean,
and they paired him with the other Georgia linebacker as well, don't they?
Yeah, Davis.
That's it.
So I think you've done really well.
Know
there.
Each other well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. Leaders, you, national champions.
Yeah.
I think anytime you can take a national champion player in round three, you've got to consider it if it's a position of need, and it certainly is for them. And Malik Willis, he goes to the Titans. I don't think I could be honest.
If I
saw Malik Willis.
The Titans were the favourite, and I couldn't quite figure out why.
If you're Malik Willis right now, you must think that your career is like almost over before it started.
Yeah.
You've gone from being the QB1 in this draft. Everyone loves you. You're going, if not top 10, you're going top 20. You're getting picked in the first round. It was like a shoo-in.
Four teams there, needed.
Everyone loves you. Everyone needs a QB. You fall to 86. Your third QB.
And you're behind
Tannehill,
who's going to play this year. And he's still going to play too much next year. They're not going to drop Tannehill next year either.
No.
He's got 2 years benched.
No, he has got, he's got almost no hope of winning. It's terrible. But I don't even get from a system perspective how that works.
No.
Because you've got Derrick Henry. What's the point of getting a mobile QB when you've got Derrick Henry? Like, get a pocket passer. It didn't make a lot of... And also, you know, because you've just traded AJ Brown. All right, you got Treylon Burks, but you don't have that big, huge vertical threat that you just traded away. You got Robert Woods. I love Robert Woods, by the way.
Yeah.
But he's not a huge, big, deep vertical threat. I mean, he can be, but he's not that big catch guy. And Treylon Burks is not. He's a little bit smaller than AJ Brown. You haven't got a big tight end. He's known for this big arm, Malik Willis. I don't see how that. I mean, you've got guys who can get down the field, but
yeah,
I don't think that's a good fit.
No, I agree.
Rashad White to the Bucks. It took me a while to work this one out before it happened, but I saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah,
pass catching back, pretty average pass and pass pro. Don't think he's going to do much here. One, I think it's very similar. Yeah. People got very overhyped when we drafted Keyshawn Vaughn.
If Brain leaves next year and the guy was there, puts Fournette right in cut potential for next summer, though, I believe.
That's definitely... Or you keep him for a year and you've got White and you can do him as a tandem.
Yeah.
But Fournette does go down. He does miss games.
He can do, yeah.
So I get it. It made sense. But they love the guy. They interviewed him, by the way. They interviewed him at the Combine, formally. Mm-hmm. They bought him in as a top 30 and then bought him in for an extra visit. Okay. So they loved him. It was only when I was trying to work out, are the Bucks going to draft Breece Hall with the first pick of the second round? I was looking through, I was like, right, who are they looked at? Because they bought in a lot of running backs.
Yeah.
But he was the only one on all three lists. And in all formal requests, I was like, they're going Rashad White. They're not
that makes
take
sense.
Him.
It's one of the better pass catching backs coming out, so I'm okay.
Absolutely.
With that.
So it did make sense. Matt Corral went to the Panthers.
You'll see Darnold starting.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Matt Corral's. He's not fit anyway now. I think it's going to take him a bit too long. I think
next summer they might have an issue. Darnold's fifth year option's gone, and then they'll have to weigh up how Corral does, I guess, during workouts and that. But
I think Corral will have half a chance to win a job.
Okay.
Next summer, but he's not. Yep. He's gonna. He basically has to look at this now as this is his year to learn the system, to get a advantage over who he's going to compete with for the job next summer.
Correct.
So we'll see what happens there. Brian Robinson to the Commanders. I mean, Brian Robinson's a bit of a plodder. Like I think everyone's sitting there like, oh no, this is bad news for Antonio Gibson. It's not. He's basically just like another J.D. McKissic. He's just going to be a guy. He's going to take some touches. He's going to vulture. He's going to be a bit annoying. But it's going to be fine. Like, don't need to worry about Brian Robinson at all. Anything else from round three that you caught your eye? Or it was a bit of a mere round, wasn't it, towards the end of night two? It wasn't too much.
You start flagging, and the names you start to wane off. And
yeah, I mean, there was a couple that Jalen Tolbert went late.
He did to Dallas.
Yeah. And then obviously we saw Dylan Parnham. I thought he was a good pick quite late.
I like Dylan Parnham.
Yeah, I thought that was a good pick. JT Woods, the safety, I thought he's as quick as anything. But yeah, I thought you know, they were good picks there all around there. And then David Bell went to Cleveland. I mean, I'm not a big David Bell fan, so
I don't think it solves their problem.
No, I don't. And then Jeremy Rutkert to the Jets, which again, they need a tight end. I think he's a good tight end that will work out really nicely for them.
What about the Niners taking Tyrion Davis Price at running back?
Yeah, I didn't really get it. Well, they need guys.
Yeah.
And he's a guy.
They obviously know their backfield and how they split it. And they have that guy does that job, that guy does that job, and that guy does that job. So he fits what they wanted, I guess. And they saw he was the best fit for what they wanted and went and picked him up.
I think he's someone who's going to, as you say, he's going to have a role.
Yeah.
But you've got, you know, you've got Sermon there. You've got
Mitchell and Wilson.
Mitchell and Wilson. Wilson will go down by week four anyway.
Yep. Yep.
So people saying Sermon and Mitchell, if one of those guys get hurt, there's a room for someone else to come in and do a job.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. Well worth a watch to see what he does there for sure. Any highlights from you from day three?
Just quickly, the Bucks obviously picked up first pick of day three, Cade Otton at tight end, which I was really happy with. I think it's a big sign that Gronk maybe isn't coming back, because I think we've signed two undrafted free agents at tight end as well since.
We drafted
another OJ Howard. Oh, we drafted two and picked one up then. Okay. I think that's the biggest sign ever that Gronk may not be coming back.
See, I'm completely opposite to you. I see this as the biggest sign that he's coming back for 1 year.
Okay.
Because I feel like if Gronk wasn't coming back, they're going second round, third round, and they're going to get
possibly
Trey McBride or Jeremy Rutkert. I think they were going to get one of those two guys.
K-Dot and Byron, the injury was up there though, right? I think 100%. He could have been one of the first. So to pick him up in a fourth round, day three, huge pickup for us, I think.
Good pickup. And I think, listen, Brate's not going to be on that roster next year unless he takes a pay cut.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, OJ Howard's gone. There isn't any tight ends on the roster. So them drafting two, don't forget, they drafted one guy late, so he's going to be a practice squad guy.
Yeah.
Right? So K-Dot will make the roster. He'll be the third tight end. Like,
it'd be second if Gronk don't come back. Yeah,
but I think Gronk comes back. I think if he wasn't coming back, they'd have punched that button a lot earlier up the board. And I think they would have got someone who is ready to start day one. I don't think K-Dot is ready to start day one. I think he's going to be very good. I think he's going to be very productive. I think I'm not knocking him.
Yeah,
but I can't see him rolling out on opening Sunday at the starting position or even second to Cam Brate. So
just quickly, dynasty drafts, he's got about a round six projection on him at the minute. So anybody that has deep dynasty drafts, go and find him in a fifth or fourth round.
Just take him.
Just in case. Yeah.
He's well worth a stash because that room gets empty.
And he's got a really easy route to time on the field as well, potentially. At the minute, he is behind just Cam Brate.
Yeah. And even if Gronk comes back, Gronk's not playing past this year in Tampa because Brady's not playing past this year in Tampa.
Correct.
So those two will be gone. I think Cam Brate will be gone unless he does a mega cheap deal next year. I think he'll be gone.
Yeah.
Maybe they keep it. I don't know. But either way, he's going to be at least the two next year with the path to go ahead of Brate. So
I
agree with you on that one. I thought the Patriots were wasteful. Like they took a QB.
Mainly Zapp.
Why are you taking a QB? You just drafted Mac Jones.
And they didn't want to go back and get Cam Newton, I guess, from free agency. That's why.
What, you're just getting Mac Jones a drinking buddy? Like, what? Jeez. I don't understand. Yeah. I'd never understood that. And then they got a load of... They drafted two more running backs.
They did,
They've got the most crowded running back rooms in the NFL. Oh,
and none of them are standouts, so...
Yeah,
it's all of them undraftable this summer, apart from perhaps...
Isaiah Spiller dropped all the way to day three, which I thought was...
Well, that's what I was going to mention, because even the Texans ended up taking Damian Pierce ahead of him in round four.
Which was maddening. Which, there is something with Spiller. It will come
out. Zamir White went before him.
Yeah. People love Zamir White. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I'm just going to be
out. It's okay. I certainly wouldn't have had him ahead of Isaiah Spiller, though.
No. I had Isaiah Spiller as my three, and I'm... Yeah. In fact, to be honest, I had him as my two before the combine.
I had Isaiah Spiller in a Devy draft last year. I was well happy.
To be fair,
I went around the third round of a Devy draft. And
I'll be honest with you, he couldn't have picked a better spot.
You like him at the Chargers?
Oh, I love him at the Chargers. I think Austin Eckler's not a, he's not like a power back. No. He's a catching back. Yeah. Isaiah Spiller could see work. He could see work in that offense.
Fair.
Because they kept splitting the role between Justin Jackson and the other back who just didn't really do anything. You know, they've had guys. They keep drafting guys to take that B role behind Eckler. Because they need people to carry the ball, to get the short yardage, to do the hard yards and the goal line stuff. And they haven't had that. So I think Spiller, I look at Spiller and I think I could see Spiller getting 7-8 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
100% I could see him getting 7-8 touchdowns this year. And then also I like this particular moment that Cam Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's gonna have a new roommate and it's gonna be his brother. What a dream. Brother gets drafted by the Steelers.
There's a thing with the Steelers, isn't there? They've got, I want to say now, four sets of brothers on the roster.
Yeah, have they?
Yeah, they've got TJ and Derek Watt.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Terrell and Trey Edmonds.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Khalil and Carlos Davis, and now both the Haymans.
They love a bit of brotherly love.
Four pairs of brothers on their roster.
That's got to be an NFL record. That's mad. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've got four pairs of brothers on their current roster. TJ and Derek, Terrell and Trey Edmonds. And then twins, Khalil and Carlos Davis are twins.
I love that.
Then they've now added the Hayward brothers as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah, keep it in the family.
That's amazing. I love to see stuff like that. Good luck to Colin Hayward.
You talk about the scouting and the effort and the work and all the time that these guys put in. If you've got a brother there that can tell you exactly what he's like, you know generally what his work ethic and his character is going to be like.
You don't need to worry about the family analysis. You've done that.
Yeah.
Did that when you took the brother.
If you're looking at player A and player B and there's very little difference, take the one you know.
100%.
Take the one you know. Because even if he falls out of line, you've got someone you know you can trust and rely on to bring him back in line.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Do you have any thoughts on winners and losers of this draft in terms of either teams or players or...
The standout one was obviously most will mention, I guess, is the Jets. They walked away with running back one, tackle one, wide receiver one, whatever you like from it. They did three of probably the top 10 players.
Corner one, definitely got great edge.
Yeah.
Great edge, great corner, wide great receiver. Wide receiver.
Yeah.
Great running back.
Eagles got a fair price for AJ Brown. I think they didn't cough up too much when you look at what Hollywood Brown went for to the Cards.
A first and a third.
Yeah.
It's a weird one because prior to this off season, that would have been a ridiculous price to have paid. But if you look at the context of it, if they do it during the NFL draft, when wide receivers have gone off the board, so they must have known that this run was going to happen, that teams were going to move up. Yeah. I feel like a lot of this was prearranged. It looks staged for the show.
It was certainly said there that it may not have been signed, sealed, and delivered, but it was be if this ends up this way, we can pull the trigger on this.
Yeah, and I think they would have done it either way. I think they knew that three or four wide receivers were going to go by the time maybe even five was going to go to them, and I think they felt, well, we have to do this trade. And I think fair enough.
I think the Eagles are big winners.
Love Davis as a pick. N'Kobe Dean could be a huge.
N'Kobe Dean late, Jalen Hurts as well. There's no QB coming, so
a big year for Jalen Hurts. He is really on the hot seat for them. I think if he doesn't perform this year, he's just got to get better in the first half. He's so poor in the first half.
The defensive extras they've added in Davis and Dean, they put in a new center as well. They Cam Jurgens plus they added AJ Brown. In redraft, can you see an argument where Jalen Hurts is now going to be that sort of 6-8 QB off the board?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah.
He should be.
He's got everything there now to be.
I think it's going to be interesting. So I'm yet to really dig into this, but I can't see him falling below QB7 in my head. I can't see a way in which that's going to happen. So... obviously, you're going to look at Mahomes and Allen. I'll probably have Allen at one, but we'll dig into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Allen, Mahomes. Then you've got that next tier of Herbert, Murray, Lamar. But, you know, the thing is, Tom Brady's going to go after Jalen Hurts in drafts still this year. And he's still going to be a steal. He's still going to be available in the eighth round of drafts. And when he's available in the eighth round of drafts and he's got top three QB upside, I think the way that we rank quarterbacks is pretty good. But I do think Hurts. Yeah, I think Hurts will probably go in the seventh, eighth round. And I think.
Yeah, I think he's come out of this and the Eagles organization is a huge winner.
Yeah. But they do have a lot of picks next year.
They do.
They could replace him next year.
But if it does work out, they could also give him a hell of a lot to work with as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got no excuses now. He's definitely got all the weapons.
Yeah, definitely.
Any losers for you?
Chicago, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
Darnell Mooney needed help with Justin Fields there. And like, even the running back room, David Montgomery's not got forever in him. And
well, I put Justin Fields in here because Justin Fields didn't get any help.
No, he didn't.
So you've got Darnell Mooney and...
Can you sit here and actually name who the Bears drafted off the top of your head?
No.
I don't know if I could.
They went defense in round two.
Kyler Gordon they picked up early in two. They did pick up Velus Jones, which in round three, pick 71, is a wide receiver from Tennessee.
Who's a quick guy, but...
He is. I looked into it a bit, and apparently they went to Justin Fields with who he wanted, and he was one of five names that he put down that he wanted.
Well, there you go. They didn't have a lot of picks.
If Fields has asked for him, they've gone and got him. You have to say that is backing him to some extent.
Yeah, well, they have, but they didn't have a lot of picks, the Bears. I'm just
not early on, no.
So
that was always going to be first four and a half, five and a half rounds. So
yeah, but I do feel they're going to struggle. They're going to need to find a way to get some weapons to help him out. I'm with you on that. He's one of my losers, Justin Fields. I just don't feel we got anything to make him any better.
Fair. What about the rest of them? Anything you thought on it?
I'll go through my winners quickly. I thought Traylon Burks was a massive winner. I thought he was someone who could go tail end round one. I think he's someone who is very, someone I'm very interested in a redraft format. It's someone I'd like to probably get quite a bit of this year if the price is right. I think Kenny Pickett was someone who isolated. He looks like he's going to get an NFL starting job before too long. I think he's a massive winner from a fantasy perspective and super flex. He's easily the QB1 off the board and it's not close. He's probably him and Ridder are probably the only two that you're interested in drafting. Drake London, obviously. I think Drake London, I always thought he was going to be wide receiver one off this board, but I had him at 10 to the Jets. So he's going to have no competition. He's literally going to be like, hey, I'm the man. So I think that's amazing. He's definitely one who could get overdrafted in redraft. But I do love him. Sky Moore, I think Sky Moore's a huge winner. I think he could be literally the moon. Christian Watson, again, I just think landing spot, you're going to get no better place to showcase how good you are. And I think that's massive. And I think for fantasy, he's interesting now. He could have really landed somewhere that was not interesting. I think he's definitely interesting now. I think he'll get overdrafted. I can't see myself having loads of Christian Watson this year. But
in redraft,
But I do think he's interesting. I do think he will be an interesting player to keep an eye on, for sure. And then I two more here. Desmond Ridder, huge winner, not just in the NFL, but I think for fantasy. I think he's a sneaky late round pick in fantasy football.
Okay.
Not redraft.
Best ball jobs. Yeah.
But best ball jobs, dynasty. And he'd be one of these players I would star week one and just see what happens. He'd be one of these players to keep an eye on. Because I think he's got the skill set to be a decent fantasy player.
Mm-hmm.
Could not be great for redraft, but I'd be keeping an eye on it.
Fair enough.
Especially in Superflex League. And Tyler Algier, by the way, is another one.
Yes.
So he's another player who Atlanta took.
Mike Davis.
Mike Davis got cut.
Yes.
He's gone. So you've got Cordell Patterson, who's going to line up out wide because they haven't got any wide receivers.
Yeah.
Tyler Algier is like James Conner. He's going to be the bulldozer back. He could easily see...
James Conner was another winner for me.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's got no competition.
He's been left alone. He's been left alone to do his job. Yeah.
The fact that he was paid that kind of money said to me that was probably going to happen, he must be feeling pretty good. So, yeah, I think Tyler Allgeier, by the way, in redraft, in best ball, is well worth a flyer. I think he's well worth a flyer. And all formats. I'd be looking, in fact, I'll be honest with you, in the Dynasty League, I've traded up into round two to get him. Okay. I traded Kadarius Toney for him.
Oh, nice.
For that pick get, because I just think he's someone who could be, I think he's really interesting now. The fact is, he hasn't got a big path in his way. And Cadell Patterson's not going to be there that long. He's over 30.
No. Yep.
I think Tyler Allgeier could work his way into a really significant role there. Losers, Malik Willis. He's not going to be on any dynasty. He's not going to be on any fantasy preferred. AJ Brown, I think he's a winner from the fact he's going to get paid. From a fantasy perspective, he's a loser. I cannot see him getting the volume he was getting in Tennessee because there isn't. He's got Devonta Smith on one side, who was
don't throw to Devonta Smith anyway.
Yeah, but that was his college quarterback as well, so they already have that relationship. But they still don't throw to him. But yeah. imagine what's the excuse next year when the Eagles make the wild card and they lose and they don't throw the ball to either Devonta Smith or AJ Brown?
It's crazy, right?
It's going to happen. Mark my words. Chase Claypool, I think, is probably the biggest loser in the entire NFL draft. Of all the players.
As we said earlier, they made him come out and pick after his replacement has just been drafted.
But it's not even a fact they took George Pickens. It's the fact they then went in the fourth round and took Calvin Austin.
Yes.
Good night. Yeah. He is done. And I said to people last year, at the end of the season, I am worried about Chase Claypool because of the fact he had these diva traits. What happened at the end of that game when, you know, the clock ran out and
he was busy fighting Austin with the ball. Yeah.
Exactly that. He was celebrating when he didn't get to the line of scrimmage. It cost him the play. They couldn't get the score they needed to tie the game and take the game to overtime. I am deeply, deeply, so deeply concerned about Chase Claypool. I don't know how many dynasty leagues I've got him in, but if I can find buyers for him, even at 75% of the price, I'm probably selling because I just am that worried that this kid is going to be irrelevant in 12 months.
Chuck him in. Pick up a late second, go get Tyler Allgeier.
Well, absolutely. Love that.
Yeah.
Tyler Allgeier is the guy. But anyone, I think, to be honest, I think I'd rather have Calvin Austin than Chase Claypool right now.
Calvin Austin's next James Washington. Be careful.
Oh, that could happen, actually. That's a pretty good comp. I put Chris Olave, talked about that. Didn't think that was a good fit. And for what I put New Orleans in there, I thought what they paid was stupid. We talked about Michael Carter, Justin Fields. Yep. Rashad Penny's the other obvious one. Rashad Penny is
healthy, so you can't argue with the Seahawks picking up.
Well, I can.
Chris Carson's career, I think, is done. Rashad Penny's never healthy anyway.
I can because they're not going to win anything this year anyway. So why waste that higher pick on a running back? Go do it next year. You've just paid Rashad Penny nearly $6 million.
He's a winner, then, isn't he? He's a winner.
Well, he's going to get paid not doing anything. But that's it. I mean, there were so many more. You're right about the Jets. I think the Jets did a phenomenal job. But the other thing I'm going to say, this is controversial because I love the NFL draft. Everyone talks about these mock grades. You know, I read a grade that the Buccaneers got an A on night one for not making a pick.
For not picking. Yeah.
I don't understand
that. We're better off not to have a player than to have a player.
How does that work? How do you get an A on a draft grade for not picking a player? Your team is no better than it was.
Yeah.
Like incomplete grade, C, whatever, right? You can't give an A for not making a pick. It doesn't
say that, but the Titans made theirs worse. So actually, we did all right. We didn't make our roster worse.
Well, yeah, I did. I just think, and it precludes everything to me that, right, everyone, we're talking about winners and losers. We're talking about all this. In reality, it's all got to play out. We can sit here and crown the Jets the winners of the draft, and we can sit here and crown the Patriots the losers of the draft. In reality, it's all got to play out. The whole thing's got to play out. You've got to see there's still moving parts. There's still unfinished pieces to come in. I still think you're going to see some trades. I still think there's going to be some player movement.
There's still free agents out there, isn't there? Landry,
there's still free agents.
On top of the head, there's still QBs floating about, and Maker and Jimmy G. And
Tyrone Matthew just signed with the Saints today. There's still caliber players out there who are going to make differences to rosters. People get so excited for rookies. So few rookies make a really significant impact. And I think this year there's going to be less than ever, but there'll be more for fantasy because of these wide receivers. Normally, you get like a couple of relevant guys for fantasy football. I think you're looking at maybe there might be six or seven.
Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb have ruined us, haven't they?
They have. They've spoiled the spot.
And Jonathan, spoiled.
Yeah. And then, you know, even the running backs, Jonathan Taylor had a pretty decent rookie year. Saquon Barkley had a great rookie year.
You know, Burrow coming in at QB. Yeah, we've been spoiled.
We have. But you know what? It's great. And that's why we love it. I'm glad we've seen it through. And. Yep. There's lots to pick off the bone over the coming weeks. We're going to have a great guest next week with Tom from NFL Best Ball UK, my fellow Fantasy Pros writer. He'll be here so he can help us with some best ball stuff and how we can break out some of these rookies and how we can build these stacks to dominate in best ball. So, yeah, anything else you want to plug? What are you working on at the moment writing-wise, Dan?
I'm doing a bit of writing for the 5 Yard Dynasty guys at the minute. I've done a QB buyers and I've done a running back buyers. So I wait until after the draft now for a wide receiver buyers. Let's sit down and look at who I'm going to peg on it, I guess. And why we should go and get them and do some work on that. So that'll be out probably in a week or so, I guess, when I sit down and get it written. Yeah. But I think Michael Pittman's going to be on that. Other than that, I don't know right now. So, but then I drafted Michael Pittman. I was high on Michael Pittman coming into his draft year anyway. I had a lot of him because I just thought he was a really good player at the time. So hopefully it's going to pay off in the long run.
I definitely think there's a few options that you can get out there that you can take a chance on and get good players for. So I think I look forward to reading it, my man. It's going to be great. Right,
thanks, mate. You all good?
Yeah, just busy finishing the playbook.
All right.
I hope it'll be out. I'm hoping it'll be out in a month's time. There's a lot still to write. I'll be honest with you. I've rewritten bits and pieces. I wasn't too happy with some of the stuff that came out. So I've torn it up and started again. So I'm a bit of a Mad Hatter's workshop right now, but it's going to be good.
And don't forget, Wednesday, national announcement. I'm sure we will speak on those.
Yes, we will. So stay tuned Wednesday. Make sure you all gear up and get excited for who the Packers and the Saints are going to be coming in London and who for us Buccaneers fans are going to be playing in. I always forget about the Jags.
No one cares.
I mean, it'd be great to see Trevor Lawrence, eh? Well, I saw him last year.
Travis Etienne will be back.
Yeah. Well, you say that.
And now. Christian Kirk. I can't wait to see how good Christian Kirk is in the flesh with the amount they paid him.
And Zay Jones.
Zay Jones is from my college I followed, so leave Zay Jones out of this.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Wow.
ECU pirate, mate. Whoop, whoop. I know. We haven't got many, so we'll take him.
Zay Jones is paid better than 65% of the wide receivers in the NFL. I think it's maybe more than that, actually.
Good for him.
Throwing it out there.
Good for him. Right, I'm all done, Murph, for you.
Yes, so thanks very much for tuning in, as always. Always a pleasure. Tune into the Dynasty guys tomorrow night. They're going to break down the fantasy rookies in a far more bigger detail than we have. But we're going to cover this in future weeks. Next week, you've got Tom joining us. The week after, I won't be here. You will be hosting this. So I'm sure you've got something great in the works. I will be taking I don't want to say well-deserved holiday, but it is very well-deserved.
Taking your laptop and finishing off the book, mate.
I will be, unfortunately. I can't go on holiday without a laptop because of work. But I'm not going to do a show, not from Centre Parks. I think
I've got this.
But it's going to be good. And then, we've got some great shows that we're going to start planning as we start breaking down what rosters look like. We'll do some pieces on some consistency. We'll get some good friends back on the show to talk about getting us ready for draft season, because before you know it, it will be here. So keep an eye on everything that's going on. Also, there's going to be a big announcement this week for the FFCC. I've been working on getting some stellar names confirmed for the FFCC. Nice. Do you want me to tell you who is in?
I'm in. Am I? Am I in?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're in, obviously.
I'm in. I went to Final 8 last year.
Pardon?
Went to Final 8 last year, I think. My best ever.
Well, you're going all the way this year, I hope. So joining us in the FFCC, Joe Dolan of Fantasy nice. Pros. Kurt Holliday is joining us. Justin Boone of The Score. Joe Pisapia of Fantasy Pros. Mauricio Gutierrez of NFL Mexico. Brian Drake of the... Fantasy Football Hustle. Jim Coventry is joining nice. Us. Kevin Tompkins. Steve Middleton of ESPN. Bob Lung. JB Barry. Pat Fitzmaurice, and just a few of the names that are joining us. There's going to be so many more awesome. Working on over the next few weeks. So
I won't hear it all come out.
Yeah, so we're getting the pros in for the pro side, but we're going to need more regular folks. So stay tuned for how to sign up for FFCC 4 or FFCC 2022. 256 places in total up for grabs in a straight knockout tournament. So stay tuned for that.
Just different from most things, that's for sure.
It's a bit nutty, isn't it? Yeah. But that's it. And awesome. Until next week, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.